Hello and welcome to Cutthroat Kvetchen, the podcast where sabotage isn't just talked about, it's up for debate. I'm William Hughes, your Dungeness Master, and I'm joined as always by the official culinary ambassador to podcasting, Gary Butterfield.
Hey, I got a good feeling about this episode.
Do you, Gary? Happy, this episode is, of course, episode 3, Talk O' the Town, an absolutely terrible name, but I don't care because happy DJ Chef Day!
It's DJ Chef Day, something that we're going to celebrate every year on July 6th, from here on out on Everything to Guppy.
We could celebrate it on August 25th, which is the day this episode aired, but...
We could, but yeah. We're just so excited. It's a July celebration. It's Chef Miss in July, is what we call this. This is a very special episode of the show, one we've been waiting for a long time. But first,
it's so fucked up that that's true.
It is fucked up that's true. It's also I mean this is my favorite type of thing where, as a close up magician,
yeah.
A principle I like to think about is the big move covers the little move.
Uh huh.
And in this, DJ Chef, obviously star of the show.
Yeah.
Everybody else in this episode is real fucking weird too.
This is a very well cast episode of Cutthroat Kitchen.
It's more hostile than some of them. Alton Brown just straight up doesn't like a guy.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on, but as always, Will is going to tell us what happened on this day in history.
Sure. Well, actually I'd love it if so, it's really hard sometimes to find out like specific things that happen on a day, even not that long ago. But I did find out that the New York Post archives all their stories by day of the week, and you can do that real easy. Gary, could you just read for me today in headlines?
Yeah. DC Panda groomed her stillborn cub for 17 minutes before letting it fall to the floor, a day after delivering healthy baby.
Nice little happy ending at the end of the headline.
Yeah, it's lightning crashes too. It's a sad lightning crashes cover in Zootopia 3 that plays over this.
Sure. Is that a backdoor reference to the Zootopia abortion comic?
No, but it could be. I was thinking that they would be likely to have a stillborn if they finally consummate their love.
Which end of two definitely suggests they're heading that way.
Yeah. Well, in the first one he straight up eats her out. I've seen the still shots of it.
Oh, yeah, of course. Of course. Yeah. Which can't get pregnant doing that, I hope.
They've invented some technology.
I mean, if you were just sucking a guy off and then you went to eat out a woman, it could happen, I guess.
Yeah. Or you suck if you can self-suck.
Can you? You've lost a lot of weight.
I can't self-suck. I used to be able to really regularly and easily lick my nipples, but that was when I was fatter.
Sure,
because they could reach.
Yeah, that was the nipples doing, not the.
Yeah, that wasn't the flexibility. That was my nipples being super stretch.
A flexibility of a sort. This, of course, is a podcast where we talk about every single episode of the Food Network TV show Cutthroat Kitchen.
Yeah, brand new podcast. You're getting in on the ground floor. It's only episode 3.
Big day for people being like, are they really doing 2 in a row? Yeah.
Yeah.
It's DJ Chef Day.
It's DJ Chef Day. It's the happiest day of the year. It's the birth of our Lord. In the box office, The Butler. Still winning it.
Still winning it. Still kicking the shit out of We're the Millers. Get out of here, the Millers.
Yeah, you're not the Millers anymore. The Butler is the Millers. And then Blurred Lines, still top of the charts. We Hate Consent.
And Marvin Gaye's lawyer is probably being like, does this sound familiar to you?
And you know what? It kind of does. I cannot wait to meet the chefs here this episode. Yeah. This is the these are the chefs. These are the chefs of our lives.
So let's start with Chef Marr, who ultimately I think I hate the most.
Interesting. Yeah.
Part of this is research. Part of this, because I research what all the chefs have been doing to see if they've died, which is the thing I'm always excited to find out if they've done. Chef Marr, Amanda Marr, is a real classic Cutthroat Kitchen take on ladies.
Yes, sometimes there's a lady who wears makeup, and they really play up the fact that she's a lady and can't be a chef. And sometimes the chef herself does that, sometimes just the other chefs do it.
Yeah, she refers to herself as like a glamorous diva.
Yeah, nobody was saying that. She's kind of, everyone probably thinks of me this way. Through this. She's also given, we talk about the editing cuts in this and stuff. She is kind of given a dipshit cut a little bit. But there are a couple things that do seem dumb.
She falls the fuck apart in the third round of this in a way that people usually don't on this show.
Yes. Yeah. It's an abomination. It doesn't make any sense. It's not, you know, it's not quite the abomination from last episode, but it is, it doesn't make any sense.
The abomination from last episode was a bad decision under pressure. She gets the worst sabotage of the entire episode, I will say. She gets hit with that. Losing those binders, I think, in that challenge is psychotic. But she really just fucking falls apart.
Yeah. She also could have bought that sabotage very easily. She just kind of stops.
Yes. Thinking. Okay. Well, we'll get there. We'll get to the round. Okay. Is she dead? No. She's on Instagram as a culinary artist / event curator / storyteller.
A lot of our chefs today are going to be that, more or less.
Yeah. In a way. She has an Instagram that is 2/3 selfies and 1/3 decent looking food that she has covered in caviar.
Yeah. I'm not a big caviar guy. It's surprising nobody is not a sea person. I do think even when I've had it and it's been okay, it is a real bully. I do not want to cover everything in it.
She has the Caviar Collective. She puts it fucking caviar on gold leaf and on everything. And it's just like, it's food for stupid people who think they're being rich.
Yes. I created the Caviar Collective because caviar is not just food. It's a moment. It's a ceremony. It's luxury that doesn't need to shout, but is unmistakably felt.
I dislike this woman.
I really dislike this after research stuff. In the episode, she's pretty harmless.
Yeah.
You know, this stuff does suck. Here.
Next up, we have the nothing nobody.
He's a butcher. Chef D. He's a butcher. He says he's not afraid to get dirty. Not have a career after this, apparently. This is the one that draws Alton Brown's animus during this in a weird way.
Yeah, he's a large, bald, slightly older black man who speaks in a very weird way, gets very, very, very fixated on whether things are tacos.
Yes, he's going to get eliminated quickly. That's where you don't get a whole lot of lore about this guy.
Yeah.
He also is a big guy and kind of hits the doors on his way out. And Alton Brown spends the rest of the episode microaggressing him about his size and how big of a mess he is. And just really, really kind of treats him like shit the entire time. And then kind of scoffs at him when he gives him the money at the end. It made me think that there were actual fights that were edited out.
It's possible, or it's reality TV and you're just trying to find something to say all the time.
Yes, because he is the most boring of our four.
Yeah.
In a different episode, in a more boring episode of this, this lummox could be, and this fight with Alton could be the highlight. It's just because we're spoiled that this feels so nothing.
Yeah. Also, he's only credited as Chef D. I could not fucking find out one thing about this guy.
Yeah.
Could not find out his name. Could not find out anything else attached to him. I have to give up my responsibility here in the most important section of the entire show. I don't know if he's dead.
Yeah.
If you're
listening to Chef D and you're dead, please write the show so we know.
He absolutely could be dead.
Yeah.
He could be he's our asterisk. He's the asterisk in our no dead chefs yet.
Next episode, we'll do a Ouija board and see if we can contact Chef D or not.
If you've ever been a contestant on Cutthroat Kitchen and you want to talk to us, do that.
Yeah. I'd love to hear about it. Especially if you're on this episode, that'd be a dream. But these people are all too famous except for possibly Chef D.
Yeah. Who's dead? Maybe.
Yeah, should we skip this one and do this one as the finale?
Yeah, let's do this as the let's yeah. do the
let's
next
do one. So Chef Seven, here Sivan, a chef restaurant owner is also a very extra Cutthroat Kitchen type of guy.
In any other episode of this show, he would be the focus character.
Yes, he's like Agent 47 infiltrating a Cutthroat Kitchen level. Of this,
straight up fucking quote. He's a straight flat out assassin.
He's a flat. He's here to erase their world. He says to people, it's not an expression. He's real haughty. He's the haughty chef. You know, every episode we get the person who's like, I fucking have more skills than anybody here. At one point he says, chefs learn certain tricks. And while this is happening, he's whisking.
Yeah.
That's one of the basic moves of chefs.
Yeah, a lot of people. Yeah, maybe. I think he was probably tilting the bowl while he did it.
He did tilt the bowl. That's true. He did do the BT. That is advanced.
He's a very classic, the archetype of like, I'm a technician.
Yes.
And then he is humbled.
Very humbled, even though they do gang up on him. Quite as, you know, it's a spoil here. Is he dead? No. He was on Chopped 2 months earlier. He lost. It was on an episode of Man vs. Child, Chef Showdown, and he beat one of the children.
He beat one of the children. It was a po' boy challenge.
Okay.
So there might have been a little whisking of a batter. I don't want to pay to watch an episode of Man vs. Child Chef Showdown because I feel like I'll get put on a list.
I used to pay for episodes of just Man vs. Child before they had the cooking element. But when I would pay for it, I was just buying VHSs.
Yeah, yeah. How many of those kids are in Congress now?
Not many. Yeah. It's actually a pipeline. It's the Farm League for Congress.
Yeah. Once you've denucleated an adult man, you're ready.
Yeah. Yeah, you're ready to serve in the halls of government. And seems fairly normal.
On social media, like, he's still a chef. He has like a fancy kitchen. He puts a lot of pictures of his kids on. I did highlight one comment that I found that was on a picture of his daughter's high school graduation, because everyone on the internet is great.
Yes. Says here, I wonder if Chef Seven, Sivan, treats his daughter as badly as he treated the prodigy chefs he lost to on Man vs. Child.
Yeah. Good job. Yeah. Julie C or something, I think was your
mean.
Name.
I can't look at Instagram because Facebook forbid me for life.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah. I think I've told you this before. When I tried to re-sign up for it for Facebook Marketplace, it gave me an error that said, you've been banned and there is nobody you can appeal this to. Like, literal text.
That's cool.
There's not an email or anything. So I was trying to look at Instagrams here.
You got to get a new college email address.
I do have to get a new college. I have to go back to college. It's time for back to school.
Just like that. Hey, Gary, it's DJ. Shut up. It's DJ Chef time.
It is DJ Chef time.
Gary, I got notes about talking over you a bunch, but I think that was a completely valid shut up.
A reasonable shut up. This is, it's going to be hard not to camp out on this guy for a long time. And we could even, I feel like an entire, you know how regular Guppy started as for, you know, multiple things per episode?
Yeah.
And then we could eventually just have this show become one chef per episode if they were all like DJ Chef. Because
they were all like DJ Chef.
Even just like what he's up to now is an episode worth of stuff.
Gary, you know, I had to search so hard to find out what this man's actual Christian name was.
It says it on I found it pretty quick. It says on his website. Yeah.
Does it? Everywhere I saw, looked on his website, it only refers to him as DJ Chef.
He does have great branding.
Well, he's the president of DJ Chef, the chef that rocks.
He is president of DJ Chef. Mark Weiss.
Yeah, Mark. Yeah.
Is this fella?
We will be referring to him as DJ Chef.
Yeah. And he has DJ Chef knuckle tattoos.
Does he have tattoos? Because what he shows in the episode
Oh, no, you're right. It's a ring. Yeah. Sorry. My bad.
I got distracted.
I was doing the calculus, the podcast calculus of whether it's okay to comment on how somebody looks. And I think my career has basically taught me that I'm just going to do it. So I do want to say this guy kind of looks like our Lost Koopa kid to me. He's kind of dressed like he has the body type of like a Koopa kid. I can imagine him being a Koopa kid.
Yeah, Gary, you are successfully communicating to me, which I think is the point of the words you're using.
Yeah, I want people to be able to envision him if they haven't seen the episode.
He's kind of a, I assume he's short. He has short energy. He's got a faux hawk.
Yep.
He's got a big smiley face.
Huge smiley face. Big oven mitt hands, foreshadowing. And one of those necks that just kind of goes directly up and meets his head. There's no thinning out of the neck. It's kind of like a whole, like just kind of a thumb on top of his body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gary, can I say something? I'm worried you're going to be mad at me when I say this.
I'm probably not going to be mad.
I like DJ Chef.
That doesn't make me mad. I get liking him in the same way you might like a Labrador.
Yeah, you know? he's very friendly. He is. So the thing you need to understand about DJ Chef is that he is on the show to get a Food Network TV show. Very, very, very obviously.
He really wants to become the next, like, somewhat in a more musically oriented Guy Fieri as a thing. He's got, like, those kind of, like, nothing going on cow eyes going
he's
on,
always
too.
He's always squinting, too.
Yeah, and he says and bids dumb.
Okay, I think DJ Chef is a strategic mastermind, but we'll talk about it when we get
there. Oh, man. Now I am all mad. I'm not mad.
Yeah.
But I disagree with that. I think he lucked into it with... I think he was very lucky. As you might guess, based on his name isn't DJ like DJ Tanner. He DJs. He spins the beats while cooking the treats.
If anything we say in this episode sounds insane, it's because we're quoting DJ Chef.
We're quoting DJ Chef. And he has made a whole career of this. I assume you've been to his website that he's the president of.
Yes.
And searched around here. I spent this morning doing this. And this is pretty fun. Mostly in the Hamptons and such.
Yeah. Yeah. He advertises that he won Top Chef Hamptons, which is not a season of Top Chef that was in the Hamptons. It's some competition somebody like in
public
the Hamptons
access.
Did. Yeah.
Yes. He doesn't mention Cutthroat Kitchen all that often, even though he does win.
He mentions it a lot.
Oh, I noticed it in his background stuff, but when you look at his like other TV appearances and stuff, it's pretty low. It's like lower than hosting Spring Break on MTV.
I don't know. It's like, on like his banner when he like posts things. True. It says Cutthroat Kitchen Champion at the top of it.
That's true. He is the chef that rocks. And he does a lot of events and stuff. My favorite, I'm torn between the bachelorette party and the adult birthday party.
Yeah, he does a lot of bachelorette parties. He does something called the DJ Chef Experience.
Yes, and you think that's going to be like stripping or whatever, but no, it's a series of, the reason why is, music equal certified bachelorette energy. Plays hits that are guaranteed the right kind of chaos, aka bachelorette bangers, girl anthems, throwbacks everybody screams the lyrics to, and feel-good party energy all night. No awkward walls, no background music.
I suspect DJ Chef is a better chef than a DJ.
I have a very hard time judging DJs as something adjacent to musicians, but not quite. I don't really know what makes a good DJ. I'm also a music snob, and I don't like a lot of music that people like, so like, not audience for it. Did you notice his adult birthday thing, where it says that it's perfect for 30th birthday parties? 40th birthday parties?
Mm.
50th birthday parties?
No.
60th birthday parties?
Maybe.
Adult milestone birthday parties, surprise birthday, and upscale house parties. He lists four different years individually.
Yeah. Because it's like, when you turn 41, you're not going to hire like a DJ Chef. Yeah.
No.
I clicked around on his booking, but it doesn't have like a price quote right up front. So I did not find out. He'd have to travel.
Like, the idea of getting him for Duckstream is incredible. And, like,
I just want to know how much it is.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to see if
spend
some real dumb money. Like, $5,000 would be, but plus expenses.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's going to get really expensive. He gets the more on edit. And this is because he has big, thick, dumb hands.
They bring that up a lot. Yeah.
They bring up his hands, and he does have oaf energy to him, even though we're disagreeing whether he's a strategic mastermind or not.
He's a little bit like a New Jersey kind of guy. He does have a particular flavor of charisma, but he is not hot enough to get a Food Network show.
No, smiling politely. He is still around, as we mentioned. His website has a lot of good information. DJChefRocks.com, which also looks like DJ Chef Rocks.
Yeah.
Which I also like as a name. His great grandfather ran like a food cart, like a greengrocer.
Please, Gary. Poppy.
Poppy is what we call him.
He's been an inspiration and motivation throughout his life.
Yeah. And he he basically goes places, plays music, and cooks at the same time, and has a wildly successful career at it, apparently.
I mean, so this guy is like a proto-influencer. This guy was running the influencer game before that was like everywhere. Like, this is, you know, 2013, so it was nascent.
Yes.
So this guy, I don't know how well he's doing because he's of that flavor of influencer where it is just constant grind set. I'm doing great all the time.
There's a lot of quotes from outside agencies.
Yeah.
And stuff, which is the only thing I'm basing it on. When we're talking about booking him, there is a phone number.
Yeah.
Like, there's a link, but there is a telephone number.
Yeah, that's rough.
That's tempting. Like, do you think it's a direct line?
I don't think so. I would be
probably
surprised.
Not. Probably. It's got to be a voicemail of some stripe. But if it's a direct line, one that would give us a clue as to how well he's doing. Not, yeah. You know.
Yeah.
And then also, what power?
Yeah, the ability to summon DJ Chef into your phone whenever you want it.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to send this number a text on air.
That is wild, dude.
Let's see what happens.
Yeah, while you're doing that, I'll just note I have a long section here where I quote an interview where he talked about what he was doing during COVID. I'm not going to read the whole thing. It's pretty long, but he did. He offered to lead the parade with my DJ Chef truck. They were doing like car parades for kids' birthdays. I hooked up a monitor for the mic, added a light bar in the back and a 6-foot teddy bear in the front seat with a birthday crown. It was great.
Cute. Good for him. Yeah. He also has all the best quotes in this, as we're talking. Elton Brown comes out.
Yeah.
You know?
Gary, can I say one more thing about DJ Chef?
Oh, please.
Because it impacts the episode. He is the only person in the entire history of Cutthroat Kitchen allowed to put Chef second in his name, and it fucks up Alton like 4 times.
Yeah, I know. Alton does not like this cast.
No.
Is a fun little sub kind of theme throughout this thing. Alton comes out looking good. You know?
Yeah.
And he immediately pulls out a suitcase full of cash, and like as he does, and DJ Chef goes, suitcase of cash? Who has that? Is Alton like a gangsta?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. It's I really like DJ Chef.
On the gangsta?
As opposed to Chef Savant, who says, quote, I was born in Hollywood, and so having a briefcase of money in front of me is not a rare thing. Cool,
not,
man.
Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, Chef Savant.
This episode has one guy who is almost not effortlessly, because he's so fucking branded, but pretty effortlessly, the main character, and one guy desperate to take that throne and failing horribly.
He wants to be like the villain of it. Like DJ Chef, fuck, now it's fucking me up. And Savant, like, head to head would have made a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Here. But again, they team up. First one here, we got tacos here. And how many of our chefs forget to get tortillas?
So
two.
Conspiracy theory. I think they deliberately went light on tortillas in the pantry.
Yeah, I think so, too. It feels
to set up some of the other sabotages.
Yeah, I think so, too. Chef D, who is a large man, gets caught in the door. And Alton spends the rest of the episode making fun of him for this.
Yeah, it is pretty slapstick when it happens. He doesn't take an ingredient because he gets like bumped. He has to like kind of squeeze through the door. He's dropping ingredients as he goes.
It's a thing I always wanted to see, which is Indiana Jones trying to go under the door as it's closing and just like not making it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like that. It's already closing. He thinks he can make it, but he can't quite do it. You know, he's dropping things. Alton Brown, we'd like to use those doors in the future. Quit breaking my kitchen. Like a lot of shit like that.
Yeah.
Alton Brown is going to do a lot of weird microaggressions during this episode.
Yeah, which is what we want. That's what you want from Alton. He's not a complaint.
The ultimate villain. Sabotage one, exclusive use of salt. You know, this is a brutal sabotage, but it is also very standard for Cutthroat Kitchen.
I love this I feel like they don't do the sabotage as much later. I love this sabotage. This is my favorite sabotage of the episode.
It's real smart.
One thing I really like about it is because it's in the first round, it's hitting three people. So it's not a killer on anybody, But you can literally, in the like the whole narrative of this round is three people trying to figure out what the fuck to do with this.
Yeah.
Because it forces you to get really creative with, and like you can literally see one person gets taken out by it and the other two find ways to like get some kind of salt component in there.
Yeah, kind of get around it, you know. It's one of the people who gets around it does it in a smart way, which I thought was for sure sending him home, which we'll get to. Mm-hmm. And we get to watch this as, you know, Alton Brown kind of talks out. We get to see everyone's reactions here. And DJ Chef is going to start his genius bidding here by jumping from 2,000 to 8,000.
I don't think that this is an... I do not think this is a genius move.
Yeah, this is silly. Doing this much for the you know, the, as you mentioned, in terms of the game, the sabotage that applies to everybody,
yeah,
is like both simultaneously high value and low value. You know, it's good for giving you an edge. It's bad for knocking anybody out. And once you have it, it's like, well, then it becomes a game between me and these other two people. That's winnable.
Yeah. This one, eventually, Chef Mar gets this for 8,200. So she's got the salt and the other three do not.
Yes. Sabotage 2 is a single ingredient steal.
This is weak.
Yeah, this is weak. And this is where, you know, as you mentioned, the conspiracy theory. Sivan wants this because he wants tortillas. So he jumps to $12,000, which is insane. That's really, really high.
That's almost half your money. That is for an extremely limited, like a very minor sabotage.
Yeah, the idea of just getting, he wants to get some tortillas. Here. DJ Chef then goes to 16,000.
A completely insane move. I do not think round one is strategic genius.
Elton's disgust at DJ Chef at this.
Yes.
Is very palpable. And, you know, Sivan wanted those shells really badly. DJ Chef says, I was looking at my peppers. I don't have any, you know, my ingredients don't have anything that really is going to give us a punch, any bold flavors. I noticed the chipotle peppers. The corner of my eye, takes Sivan's chipotle peppers through there for $16,000. And Chef Sivan's like, what the fuck are you doing? It's Cutthroat Kitchen, not Patty Cake Kitchen.
Yeah.
There's going to be a lot of it's Cutthroat Kitchen, not blank this episode.
They do a lot of that. Like, I do think taking the peppers was the right choice. Like, yeah. Because in a taco challenge, everyone's grabbing multiple proteins, so you can't kill someone by taking their protein.
Well, this guy ends up losing his protein anyway.
Sure.
As well. So if he had taken that, nothing would have happened. He would have been, you know, is probably the right choice. I think that taking, not everybody got multiple proteins. The first chef just got shrimp.
That's true.
That would have fucked her over. Like, I think this was a bad move.
Okay.
Personally. The 7-3 is Bologna, aka Bologna.
A lot of conversation about the proper pronunciation of bologna or bologna in this. Gary, we need to come to a, do you want to say bologna, bologna, or bologna?
I want to say bologna because that's how the meat is pronounced.
I'm with
Sivan
on
this.
In Italy, it's pronounced bologna.
Yeah, but not bologna. It's never pronounced bologna.
No, of course not. Alton's a fool. Yeah. And we hate
him. Well, he's doing this on purpose to make everybody mad. This is like a hidden sub-sabotage.
Okay, yeah, just like, putting that in people's brains.
It's kind of, well, it works. It gets through the Sivan.
Yeah.
It gets in his head. He does not like it.
So yeah, so this is mean. This is lose all your protein and replace it with bologna.
Yes, which, if you add a shell, I think this would be fine. One, Sivan does, you know, realize bologna is salty, which is good. But you cube this up and you crisp it up, I think you can make a taco out of this that would taste good.
Oh, absolutely. I'd eat like a spam taco or a bologna taco. Yeah,
it'd be great. You know, it's just the fact that, so this goes for $6,800 to Chef D and gives it to Sivan. This is the beginning. Sivan never had a chance. He gets almost all the sabotages in the game.
Yeah. Well, he did it to himself.
Yeah. By being a real cocky asshole. I think that if Sivan had shells, Sivan would have easily, you know, he wins this one, but I think he would have dog walked it.
Yeah.
Because bologna, not a death knell.
I don't, and as usual, I don't put a lot of notes in here for the actual cooking. There is a moment where Alton goes, I need a poncho just to be near you, man, to Chef D.
Yeah, and Chef D doesn't like this. Yeah. Again, Chef D is starting to get genuinely irritated.
Yeah, the beginning of, like, we can see the start of Chef D's inevitable, and I'm almost certain it happened, death.
Yes. Chef Mar did not get shells and instead got pineapple and is going to make kind of pineapple planks to serve shrimp on.
Which probably sounds tasty. Good, isn't a taco.
Would taste good. Not a taco. There's a mid-round sabotage. Lots of mid-round sabotages in this episode.
Mm-hmm.
And it's no heat for 10 minutes, which is pretty huge, depending on what you're cooking.
Yeah, as it goes, Savon gets it for cheap. Mid-round sabotages basically always go for cheap because they're distracted. Yes. And Chef Mar's like, I already cooked all my stuff. So it was
Savon gives it to Mar. The thing I thought was interesting about this was Elton Brown says, you gotta choose right now. Like, he doesn't let him look.
Yeah.
And kind of check, because that would be a huge disadvantage. He gives it to Chef Mar. Chef Mar is basically all cooked, so it doesn't matter.
I mean, could have genuinely taken DJ Chef out right then.
Easy.
We know in hindsight, DJ Easy. Chef gets hit for undercooked fish anyway, so.
Yeah, Alton even tells him this as a pro tip. He even says, you know, DJ Chef has just put his tilapia on.
Yeah.
You know. We get more Majumdar. They shoot these multiple ones of these in a day. Obviously.
There's some weird ADR in this episode. I do wonder if this got moved around or edited or something. And that's possibly why. Because they don't usually do two judges in a row.
No, I think they do shoot multiple ones.
Yeah.
With this. But yeah, they usually mix them up. I think they're shot at the same time based on behind the scenes stuff. Like seeing the little aftercare, the after parties.
Yeah. Gary, can I ask you a serious question? It's here in the notes.
Yeah, yeah.
Does Simon Majumdar need to tuck in his fucking shirt?
I think he just wants that kind of oaf belly.
Because I think he used to be a lot fatter.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. It's I've lost some weight. I've been driven to tuck in my shirt more. You know? It's a real thing.
He just looks like fucking Scrooge in his nightshirt to me, man.
Yeah. I don't know. He needs to get there. He's on the journey. One of the things I was thinking about with Majumdar in this episode is the lack of like small talk. Like, they really get to it. I forgot that it predates the does it taste good? Does it look good? Does it really remind me of a taco?
Yeah, they had not yet. No bobs, none of that. No bobs. It's early days.
Early installment weirdness is what we call
this. Hey, Gary's speaking my language.
Yeah,
that's
me and Will are on the same page.
That's a television trope.
Yeah. Only thing that Alton Brown says is, do you call it taco or taco? He goes, I called it taco before it was beaten out of me. Now I call it taco.
That's a great sign of Majumdar, man.
Thanks.
Even rewatching that TikTok.
Cameo. Yeah, yeah. Chef Mar, a tropical taco, a grilled pineapple and shrimp. This is just shrimp on top of grilled pineapple.
I think she's got a salsa or something. They irritated me in this episode because they named their foods instead of saying what they were.
Yes. Yeah. Well, it does let us DJ Chef gets his Bangin' Baja tacos.
Yeah.
So this is Chef Simon Majumdar. Pineapple has brought down many chefs in my presence. One thing I love Simon Majumdar, as you know, he does have a bunch of weird little individual taste things that he will totally bring people down for that you could not predict.
Yeah.
You know, pineapple, perfectly cromulent food, great Mexican food and stuff. And he just doesn't like it is the implication here.
No, I think it's more, it's one of those things chefs reach for when they aren't being creative.
Is it? Because I know that about truffle. From this show.
That's right? The implication I'm getting here is that like people throwing pineapple in as like a curveball to make their food seem interesting.
Okay.
Seems like the kind of thing that would irritate a judge after a while.
I maybe didn't pick it up because I love pineapple and stuff. Yeah.
You fucking love it, man. I know.
I do. My favorite fruit.
We went to the Asian, the new Asian market over at Mall 205 yesterday. They had
I didn't know
juice.
There was one. I'm very excited.
Oh yeah, there's like a Japanese like import shop over there, and then there's a really good hot pot place, and then there's a big ass Asian market, ranch market. It's good. I recommend it.
Yeah. I live in the Asian market district.
That's true. You're right by Fubon. Not right by Fubon. Don't track down and kill Gary.
Don't kill me. I'm near Fubon though. But I'm actually between like three of them. There's two other ones on 82nd, on kind of equidistant. God damn it, I'm triangulating my position.
You really are, dude. You said the street.
I know. People know where could look at where Fuban was. Chef D, for some reason, decides, like, I don't know why. Chef D decides to make an Italian taco, is what he says, but it sounds like a Mediterranean taco.
It's the fucking salt thing.
Yeah. Yeah. You're trying to figure this out. It looks like dog shit. It's a bad looking taco.
It's an ugly fucking taco. It's ground beef topped with goat cheese and cilantro wine sauce, which you're right is not Italian. That is Mediterranean.
It's nothing. Yeah.
It's, but I think it's, I think he only grabbed ground beef and unseasoned ground beef in this, like, that's the most dire of
it's brutal.
All. Like, yeah.
He did. He was smart. He put chicken stock in it, like cooking meat and using chicken stock as a liquid just for cooking. Is good, you know, way to add some flavor to stuff, but this doesn't look good. He did double shell it like Taco Bell.
Yeah.
The only flowers he gets. And he's very upset, you know, about other people who have don't have tacos. He has a taco.
And he has such a weird way of, it's not a taco. At least my dish is a taco.
Yeah. Partly just him being a big black dude kind of has, gives him like the champ energies. Like he kind of, in speaking kind of slow, he's kind of got like the champ.
Yeah.
Like, the champ has retired to cooking. DJ Chef, wonderful moment in this episode.
Really, really a beautiful moment. Really
holds out his hand to shake his hand. You know, like a person.
Yeah.
DJ Chef puts his hand out for a second, thinks better of it. Like, he does make a hand for just a second. And then makes a fist and goes, pound it out. And, like, that's a great thing to do to Simon Majumdar.
Simon Majumdar's credit, pounds it out.
Pounds it out with him. What we got here is DJ Chef's banging Baja fish tacos with tilapia, Baja sauce, and salsa cruda. And the fish is undercooked.
Yeah.
No excuse for this.
Really not. Yeah. He had his only sabotage here was the salt thing.
Yep.
This is a great looking plate of food, but I would be mad about the fish being undercooked.
Yeah. And lack, you know, tilapia does need salt. Alton pointed that out before. Tilapia is a bland fish on its own.
Yeah.
Simon likes the Chipotles. So uh-huh. $16,000 well spent, according to DJ Chef.
Yeah, Alton, they do a little thing. You know, the chefs are not ever supposed to know what the sabotages are during the judging, but Alton does go, oh, you like the Chipotles.
Yeah, he does. DJ Chef salutes him and then thinks better of it and throws the devil horns.
Throws the horns to camera. Like, he salutes and then turns the camera and devil horns.
Gotta do the
DJ Chef, a fully formed personality.
Yes. Truly the lost rugrat. Chef Savan has his thing, which is an ode to Hawaii, which is using bologna shells, tropical fruit, a fresca taco with a little bit of lime, lime supremacy on top, and shredded cheddar.
I mean, it sounds and looks good and is good.
Yeah, tastes good. Like, I like bologna. I like cooked bologna a lot. There's no reason this wouldn't be good. It's just, I wish he, you know, if he had shells, home run. And Simon Majumdar does the fake out. Like, there's probably a reason why people don't do this, but it works. It's really tasty.
Yeah. I like to note down things I learn about food when I'm doing this. I didn't know that supremes was the pith-free portions of citrus.
Yeah. I don't like saying supremes. Lime supremes.
It does sound like, you're a supremes.
It sounds like a lime supremacy kind of thing.
Now, and that is the one where Matt Damon was sick, so his cousin was in it.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Sad that he couldn't make it. That was it was a big takeoff one, too, if I recall.
Dat Maimon.
Yeah, Dat Maimon. Of course, Chef D gets eliminated for a big, messy plate with no salt.
Yeah.
You know, Chef D does not like this. He's upset. Alton Brown is like, I see that money. I want it back in my case or something. And Chef D gives him a look like, I'm going to fucking kill you after the show.
Yeah.
He's like, there's a lot of genuine animosity here.
His last words on the episode are, I'll be back. He was never seen again.
He was never seen again. Even on the internet. He retired from the internet. A little update. My text of what up, DJ Chef, has not been answered yet.
Thank you for the update, Gary.
I'll let you know if it pops in. That would be incredible. What a breaking story. That would be revolutionary podcasting.
Really, really breaking news. Yes. Very exciting. All right, we're on to round two.
Round two, Eggs Benedict. And Savan is so fucking excited. At one point he says he wishes he could kiss Alton Brown about this. He loves making Eggs Benedict.
Because Eggs Benedict doesn't... This is a mean challenge, generally, because it is... Yeah. It has a lot of things to fuck up. But
it's a technique forward meal.
Yeah, which they don't often do on Cutthroat Kitchen because they know what's going to happen. Yeah. And they also cut them to 20 minutes, which is also very mean.
Very mean. Sabotage 1 is quail eggs, replacing all the regular eggs with those. Savon buys these and gives them to DJ Chef because he has oven mitt hands.
Yeah, this is for $5,000. I think this is the first sabotage in the whole episode to go for the right amount.
Yeah, this is about right. Even though, again, to DJ Chef's credit, he does good work with it. This is what you would do with this. And this is worse than it sounds because you also have to make the hollandaise out of this. So you're dealing with these tiny egg amounts. He does say a weird sentence, though, where he says he's going to use oven mitt hands to bake those tiny eggs and show me what kind of DJ he really is.
That's so God,
you're so close.
Weird.
You had a 50-50 chance of saying the right job there.
Show me what kind of DJ he really is.
Yeah, with quail eggs in his oven mitt hands. That's how you tell what kind of DJ you are. Yeah. One of my favorite tiny things of all time is somebody has to improvise an insult and they do a really bad job of it.
Yeah.
Like, I really like it. I wish I could bottle it. Like, somebody gets angry and says something, and it just doesn't make any fucking sense. I've told the story before, but there is when I first started at PSU, there was a serial masturbator before me. Not in the position. I couldn't. Those are pretty big shoes to fill with cum, but I couldn't do that. It was a guy who was going around jerking off in front of people. And I saw the notes. I was digging through my predecessor's stuff, and my supervisor at the time saw him and chased him out at one point, which is what you do to a masturbator. And the guy at the bottom of the stairs goes, "I'm sorry." And Doug, my supervisor, goes, "No, you're not."
Yeah, I mean,
which I really like.
Accurate,
like, it's
accurate,
accurate, but not the comeback. No. You know, it's like, no, that's well observed, but it didn't sound like a cool insult the way I think you probably did when your blood was up.
How many loads would it take to fill a shoe?
For me or for the average man?
Let's go with you.
I like two.
That's, yeah. Well, you have such tiny little feet.
I do. I thought you were talking about a baby shoe, which is kind of how I have to do it. So
Yeah. No, we've all read Hemingway.
Yeah. yeah. Sabotage 2 here. Whisk.
Yeah, it's a basket that says whisk. You can take one opponent's whisk. I assumed that because that's like nothing. It's not nothing, but I assumed you would take both your opponent's whisks, but no, you have to aim it.
And it's just whisks. There are no forks in the kitchen, and there are no blenders or food processors, but they have like those spatulas that have the grating in them and stuff.
Yeah, it's not quite the same.
Not quite the same, but it does feel like something you could get around. You know, I think this is an appropriately priced sabotage as well.
So we get into a thing here where Savon is not really bidding through the rest of this episode.
Yes.
Mar and DJ Chef both kind of know they're going to give it to each other or give it to Savon.
Yes. There's an alliance. It's classic reality TV here. The biggest error in this episode is Savon taking it easy this round for bidding. That's just stupid.
Yeah, the thing at this point, DJ Chef only has $9,000, which is enough to get basically one more sabotage if your opponents are pushing you.
Yes. Yeah.
But he ends up getting like four more because his opponents completely fuck up the bidding.
Yeah, they just stop. You know, again, I'm not thinking he's a genius bidder. I think his opponents are bad at it, me personally.
DJ Chef declares the immortal line, "Payback, biatch."
Yes, making Savon his biatch. Sabotage 3, classic. It's a camp stove. Chef Mar gets this for $4,100. Alton calls this a death sentence. I don't think so. Go ahead.
So, camp stoves don't do even heat, right? Or they do. They basically go full blast.
Yep.
Like, poaching an egg in that environment is very, very hard. And one of the things that can make a hollandaise split is too much heat. So, like, in a technical challenge, this is pretty nasty, I would argue.
I think it's bad. I think you could make it work. What ends up sending him home is the whisk. Ultimately, mm-hmm. it's the you know, it could have been the heat, I guess, that made it split. It's the sauce splitting. Poaching an egg, you know, you can boil water on a camp stove.
Sure.
Through this. Like, I feel like you can poach the egg okay. And also, it turns out poaching eggs is optional for this challenge.
Infuriatingly, apparently.
I'm not saying this is good. I just feel like this is something that, like, this, I don't think this is what sends him home. I think this is doable.
Savant says a weird thing where he ran his restaurant for 2 years off of camp stoves.
So. That's a really, like, it was for woodland creatures.
Yeah. That's fun to imagine. This, like, little, severe little man.
Yeah. Just being like, I'm going to fucking assassinate this squirrel by giving him a really good Benedict. There is a mid-round sabotage here that is handled really well.
Yeah.
This is to hand juice oranges enough to fill up a glass.
Yeah, this is a 20-minute challenge. This is all about eating about 2 to 5 minutes of time.
Yes, but you can do it while cooking.
Yeah.
So the weird thing is you don't have to stop and do this, which makes this one of the gentler mid-round sabotages. Like, it's a pain, but you can do it while cooking. It's not like a classic stop everything.
And this is the moment where DJ Chef proves himself to be a cunning mastermind, an absolute master of the bidding arts. He bids his whole wad.
Yes.
His whole 61,000 remaining.
And he says it's to drive up the bid.
Yeah.
There is even odds that Chef Maru would have just been like, okay. Because they both knew who they were giving it to. This is Chef Maru being an idiot.
Yeah, because she overbids him by $100 and then doesn't give it to DJ Chef.
Yes. Which I would have done just for deliciousness. You know, and to see those big mitts make orange juice.
Yeah. I would have come so hard. I would have filled a whole thing.
But his whole, I'm going to drive up the bid, like, that does make sense. But he's not thinking about the next round.
I think that is thinking about the next round.
Well, he's thinking about, he wants to drive it up. He's not going to drive it up enough to make a big difference with the huge deficit he's in.
I know, but at least it's better than letting her have it for letting her roll into round three with, like, the only thing she's had before this is the salt thing. So she's down to what?
Yeah.
17,000.
She also had the camp stove. She ends up going into the final round with 16,000. She ends up losing about 10,000 total. Roughly I still just think this, he locked out. I think Chef Maru is not good at bidding.
Okay. Yeah. Or he's a strategic genius who's working all the angles.
Possibly. He gives a Savan who dog walks it. No problem. Just makes orange juice really quickly and then stunts on it by garnishing it and, like, making it drinkable.
That is very good. That is the one moment of this episode where I'm like, that is nice.
That's delicious evil. And then Simon Majumdar drinks it, even though it's probably got egg in it and stuff, all kinds of raw egg and stuff from his hands. We get into our judging here.
Wait, Gary, we have to say these two lines as, do you want to be Chef Mar or do you want to be DJ Chef?
I'm going to be Chef Mar here.
All right. You're putting a lot on me, man.
Yeah. Listen, it's Cutthroat Kitchen, not Make Friends Kitchen. That pause is important.
Booyah!
And then booyah. Classic booyah, sign of the devil. DJ Chef. The chef that rocks.
He rocks so much, Gary. He rocks. He's a strategic mastermind, and his food looks okay.
His logo is a fork giving the sign of the devil. And in the chef that rocks, the letter A in that is replaced with a skull and crossbones.
It is, yes, the poison sign.
The poison sign that you want on your food.
Like, that's like if you were a private chef and you put Mr. Yuck in your brain.
Yeah, yeah. It's, we are judging down here. Chef Maru decided not to make a poached egg.
Makes me so goddamn angry.
Now, I was thinking about this, and I was like, I would still really like an Eggs Benedict with a fried egg. That would taste great.
But it's not a fucking Eggs Benedict.
No, Eggs Benedict needs to be a poached egg. She also does not put very much sauce on it, which I really want a lot of sauce on my Eggs Benedict as well.
Yeah.
This would taste fine as a breakfast sandwich. It's got pancetta. Pancetta is amazing.
Yeah, it's got mushrooms on it, which I'm not usually wild about. This is Mandy Fancy Eggs Benedict because her name's Amanda.
Yes, and her daughter really likes fried eggs. I thought either her, Simon calls out the lack of sauce here, and Elton is like, "Yeah, fuck yeah, I did that."
He does a full stone-faced arm cross Like, yeah. He stands full up, arm crossed. It's such a good little move.
Like M. Bison.
It's
the same pose that M. Bison does when he wins.
Yes.
Like, he's having a day today. DJ Chef, however, took it even one step further, he said. And these are four little miniature Eggs Benedict with poached quail eggs and smoked salmon.
Yeah, this looks like a good meal. This looks like, I would eat this.
I'm not a smoked salmon guy, you know, but otherwise looks good. Eggs are overcooked. Hard to not to do with these miniature eggs.
And then, yeah, Chef Savon has a Gravlox Benedict. So his egg is overcooked. Like, he talks about how he's perfectly poached the egg.
Never say
he
that.
He doesn't get the, and it ain't. But
yeah,
Simon just does say the egg is overcooked.
Never say that. To anybody. Gravlox Benedict sounds like a supreme ruler of the spaceways.
Yeah, No, he has seen the immortal time stream, and he determines who can or cannot pass through it.
Yeah, and is right to do so.
Yeah.
Eggs are overcooked, the sauce broke.
Can we be very fucking clear? We are not questioning Gravlox Benedict's right to control the spaceways.
No. And it's only because he decided not to look upon Chef Savon with favor that he even goes home.
Yeah.
If Gravlox Benedict had been more generous that day.
And it's not because we're worried that Gravlox Benedict will cast us into the infinite darkness, right?
No. We do not want to get go into the time stream and wake up in a mall in 1990s San Dimas.
But it's not fear. It's not fear of becoming our own uncles, which he could do on a whim. He is Gravlox Benedict and he is all powerful. It's morally right that he controls the spaceways.
I just got distracted by thinking about who I'd have to fuck to become my own uncle.
One of your aunts, my friend.
One of my aunts. But I was trying to... Well, it could be... I could be the uncle. I could just be my mom's brother and then have sex with one of my sexy aunts, not by blood. I was just trying to figure out the way to make the least gross.
Well, and it's either incest or you're becoming your mom's brother.
Yeah. Which is a kind of incest.
You'd have to be rebirthed from your grandmother.
Ooh, yeah. That's weird. I know it's so weirder to come out of my grand mussy than my mother's mussy.
Gravlox Benedict, we do not challenge your rule. No, the sauce breaks and he goes home.
Yep. Yeah, he goes home. DJ Chef is Chef Marge is the best. We get another like you're safe.
Uh-huh.
There. Thing. Savant is eliminated and he's in shock. You get to actually see his face when he's named.
Yeah.
At this point too, and he does not take it well. We didn't really I feel like I need to give equal time. Chef Savant has horrible facial hair.
He's got bad Wolverine facial hair, yeah.
He's got Wolverine, but like Wolverine is growing it back. Like he accidentally shaved it. And it's still in the early stages.
He's got sideburns he showed someone a picture of.
Yeah. He kind of looks like the X-24 from the Logan film. The Wolverine clone.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Yeah, from that. Final round. Everyone, you know, Chef Mar says it's more about showing my daughter that she should follow her dreams.
She's working this daughter narrative a little late in the episode.
Way late in the episode. This is Crab Cake here. And they throw everybody kind of a sabotage by giving everybody live Dungeness crabs.
Yeah. They throw me a sabotage because there's some close-ups of live Dungeness crabs.
Yeah. I'm not a big seafood person. I do love a crab cake. I would not make one out of a live crab.
Alton's a scamp throughout this episode. He emphasizes they've got 30 minutes as though he's being generous. Though he doesn't know that they're about to have to cook
and break down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like they have to deal with the moral implication of this before they even deal with the culinary implication.
DJ Chef does not. DJ Chef has killed his crab within the first 30 seconds of the
Yeah. Just and ultimately doesn't end up using it. This crab dies in vain. It's incredible.
Yeah.
Like it's really funny.
There's a worse injustice here though. And it's how Chef Mar says plantain.
Yeah, I do not like that. It's very similar to bologna. Plantain. It's plantain, you motherfucker.
I had to look, like, is there, have I been saying plantains wrong? But no, it's not plantain.
Yeah, planting. This is caviar-addled brain at work here. And DJ Chef says he came here to prove a culinary point. A DJ Chef can cook. Something that's never been disputed.
It makes me so happy when he said, I'm just like, that's the thesis of the episode.
That is, a cat is not a dog. Like, nobody has ever been saying that somebody couldn't chef and DJ at the same time.
Gary, he came here to prove a culinary point.
It is a culinary point.
A DJ chef can cook.
Yeah. Nobody ever thought of it before. Nobody's against it. Just nobody ever thought of it before. So we have our sabotage, mid-round sabotage, as always. In the third round,
they're all mid-rounders. The first sabotage here, I think, is too mean. I think this is too much, and it's too fucked up.
Yeah, it's really fucked up, but it goes for nothing, and Chef Mar just forgets to bid. Again, this is Chef Mar just loses this game more than anyone wins it.
This round,
huge mistakes.
The sabotage here is losing all of your binders, so all your eggs, breadcrumb, mayonnaise, anything you would use to make a crab cake.
Yeah, turn crab into a crab cake. You know, goes for $1,600 from DJ Chef.
Insane.
She came in
with such a cash advantage in this round, and she just fucking squandered it.
Should have dog walked him. She has a good idea for a second, though. This is what I would do, but then she's really psyching herself out about this crab. She's like, I'm going to use fried plantains and crush those into kind of a breadcrumb.
Sorry, fried what?
Fried plantains. Yeah. And then was going to use the oil from cooking as a binder as well.
Yeah.
I think this would work. I think if you did this with the crab and a thing, you could make something that kind of held together a little bit.
Yeah.
Enough to fake it. But she's like, I have no time. It's just frying plantains. That's not going to take that long.
And all she ends up doing is overcooking the plantains.
Yeah, and just using them as a plank. Like, it's her classic move. She loves a plank.
Yeah.
Sabotage 2 is replacing all of your fresh crab with California rolls.
Crab with a K.
Yeah, with K crabs. Chef Mark goes, fuck.
Yeah.
I really like that. And Alton Brown goes, what'd you say? And she goes, oh, goodness me, or whatever.
Yep.
But I like this little bit of humanity in her. DJ Chef gets it for $2,500.
Because Chef Mar thinks he's going to give it to her. But yes. Alton emphasizes that you could give it to yourself, which is what he does, so his crab can just go off to Crab Valhalla.
Yeah, without being cooked, even though it is already killed.
So you have this now there's this counterpoint between this dude just like calmly like removing the crab from the California roll and this woman like losing her mind trying to get crab meat. Yeah.
They cut back to her disassembling the crab constantly as if she's doing it the entire time.
Yeah.
Like really late in the cooking, they'll just show her like cracking a crab claw like I Love Lucy and like, oh no, through this. It's very funny. I wanted to run this by you when I watch this episode. I'm glad we started early today because I didn't want to cut this off yet. I like it when they do sabotages that you could plausibly give yourself.
Yeah, that's always, I think that is a fun move.
It's an underexplored game space in Cutthroat Kitchen, I think.
I think DJ Chef could have rolled with the crab he had, probably. I bet he hasn't broken down a lot of crab. I don't know, he's East Coast.
He's East Coast. He has a lot of bachelorette parties. It's definitely possible. Regardless of which, he jumped on that California roll.
He did, yeah.
Through this.
The two plates of food that are produced here are the two worst looking plates of food
I've ever
seen on this show.
Neither of them looks like anything. The DJ Chef one, the crab cake.
It looks like pasta salad or something.
Yeah, it's just a pile of like crab meat with some stuff in it.
Yeah.
His cakes
don't come together very well, I think because of how much moisture is in the crab.
Yeah, that would make sense. There's a diner in my hometown I got to eat at when I was back home, and they always had something called the cold salmon plate, which was like an ice cream scoop of like salmon on a single sheet of lettuce that you could get.
That's Bobby Hill-ass food, man.
It's really Bobby Hill-ass food. It's like on the old person's menu.
Yeah.
You know, a little subsection that's like, train's about to be put out. It's a train-themed diner. Train's about to be put out to pasture. Cold salmon plate. $6.99 and just a scoop of, and this is what this reminded me of.
Just a bullet of sodium aimed at your heart.
Yeah, gross. And the crab is burnt, and Majumdar even notices his fake crab.
Yeah, like it doesn't look like a very, like, I guess it's edible, right? I like fake crab, mango salad, sure. Grilled pine, here is a good use of the pineapple. Probably tastes fine.
It's probably fine. Like, not that I'm gonna, not a crab cake to Gary's. You know, not, if I ordered a crab cake and got this, I'd be upset because this is not a crab cake. The things I like about crab cakes are more specific, but it's nothing compared to Chef Mar's fucking crab nightmare.
You mean the crab cake coaster?
Yeah, a bunch of crab on a platen.
Not a bunch. Like, it's basically like a claw. It is not very much crab.
Nothing is done to it. And she goes, you know, the crab is so good by itself, it didn't need any accompaniments. So it's just a piece of crab on top of a plantain, on top of a plantain chip.
Yeah, this woman is doing a lot of cutthroat kitchen style bullshitting.
Yes. And it's early on, out of all the chefs, Majumdar has the least patience for that. Other people kind of entertain it a little bit longer, I feel like, in the show's run.
Yeah.
Majumdar immediately, you know, sick of this. Like, this is not a crab cake. She goes, it's crab cake inspired. And he goes,
He laughs and goes, like, yeah, essence of crab cake.
Essence of crab cake, you fucking clod. The plantain is very tough. He says plantain because he's smart.
Yeah.
Plantain is very tough. And then he kind of has to say something nice. There's a lot of compliment sandwiches in this show. He says adding the arugula was a nice peppery bite.
That's so mean.
It's really bleak.
The leafy vegetable that you didn't cook and you put all this on top of did add a flavor that I liked.
God did a good job when he made this vegetable.
Yeah.
The end. And DJ Chef wins with $2,000 left.
Yeah. Lowest amount won so far. One of the lowest amounts all time. I think somebody ends up winning with zero.
Yeah, they do, definitely. I remember that episode. And Alton is not happy about this crop of contestants, I get the sense of.
Generally not. No, I think this was these are not great cutthroat kitchen players other than DJ Chef, who's a strategic mastermind and played everyone like a fiddle. Because think about it, Gary. Sure, he only left here with $2,000, but he's been advertising himself as a cutthroat kitchen winner ever since.
I mean, the exposure is a big part of Cutthroat Kitchen.
I mean, genuinely, yeah.
It's part of the reason why we should get on there.
It's why Chef D is gone.
Chef whom?
Exactly.
Yeah, exactly. He does win it. Things are only looking up for him. He's going to do a lot of bachelorette parties and be on a couple other shows.
COVID's going to hit, and he's going to roll with it with his 6-foot teddy bear with its birthday crown.
Yep. Nice thing to do. You know, I like that.
You know it had his banner on it, though.
Yeah. It was for advertising to children. And he's going to have to add that he can do 10-year-old, 20-year-old parties as well, not just 30, 40, 50, 60, and milestone.
Imagine DJ Chef trying to do a party where no one's allowed to drink.
It's pretty, because the thing about DJ Chef, you know, when you're saying you like DJ Chef, I had the thought, you know, I'm not always the nicest person, you know, I tend to be nice in real life, but
I realized there was a moment I was supposed to go no during.
Yeah. Well, you deployed the sarcastic version, which is good. But if I did meet DJ Chef, if I was drunk enough, I would be like, hey man, you into any bands? Like, I feel like I could be susceptible, but it would need a lot of liquor and then like a bachelorette party environment. I need to hear some tunes that get everyone screaming the lyrics.
You never asked me if I'm into any bands.
Huh? I know what bands you're into.
What bands am I into?
Hamilton.
If people enjoy, this is another episode of Cutthroat Kvetchin. If people enjoy this show, what should they do, Gary?
Go to patreon.com/duckfeedtv. It's finally the pivot.
You know? It's finally the pivot. We did two of these in a row. It must be the pivot.
Yeah, join us. It must be pivot. I'm enjoying it. Go there. You can also leave us ratings, reviews on Apple Podcasts, Podcast Addict, anywhere you can find podcast. Give us a 5-star review.
Oh, yeah, like this one left on Apple Podcast by Noah's Arcana. I wonder if that's a Noah's Arcade joke.
I would think so.
Or just a Noah's Ark, maybe. Just, I don't know. I hope I never get out of this labyrinth. A bizarre and hilarious podcast that essentially amounts to two close friends trying to hurt each other's feelings. Perfect show, no notes. Well, we changed it.
Yep. Yep. No longer is it perfect.
There's not a lot of emotion. There's not room for emotional damage when we're talking about things we're actually interested in, i.e. the 2013 reality cooking show Cutthroat Kitchen.
The reason why we were so mean before is because we weren't actually interested in what we were talking about.
I got bored.
Like The Binding of Isaac.
I got bored.
When we all know when you get bored, it's everyone's problem.
I just need a treat, Gary.
I know. It's classic.
Everything's Will. Fine as long as Will gets a treat.
DJ podcaster in the house. Classic. Can somebody get the skeleton in Nokia?
I really thought we were going to end on the line that I paused and let breathe, but
nope.
No, can never. Someone? No, and it's still not over now because now I have to say it to legally end the covenant.
Yeah, it's what Gravlox would want.
It's what Gravlox. Hail Gravlox.
That's a good. Yeah, hail Gravlox.